Songs that never get old, amen, that should move your heart every time that they're sung, and that is one of them among many others, and I think of the other one as well, God Bless the USA. Every time you hear that song, it ought to stir your heart for Great America. Zach, I was wondering if we could tee that second one up. Can we do that right now, or do you want to do it at the end? Pardon me? Okay, all right, thank you. All right, well, it's good to have you here today as we celebrate Memorial Day. We're looking to show another video, and we'll get that to you some other time as well. I'm glad that you could be here today. I want to say thank you to Diana and others that helped decorate this wonderful auditorium. And then as you come in, we'll unlock the doors about a little after 3 o'clock and for our 4 o'clock picnic. And you'll see that the fellowship hall is decorated wonderfully and beautifully for Memorial Day. Amen. And so we're just excited as we go through this day through all the way through to July 4th, and we have our big celebration here, our family and friends July 4th celebration in about a month or so. So we're looking forward to that. Well, Memorial Day, well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 6 down through verse number 10 in just a moment or two. Romans chapter number 5, verses 6 through verse number 10. Remember, Memorial Day is a special time in America when we pause to remember the men and the women who given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives in the service of our great nation. It's a day of honor. It's a day of gratitude, but also it's a day of reflection. As flags begin to wave Monday and through parades and at your home, as families gather together and thoughts turn to the sacrifice and remembrance of these great men and women. The theme of remembrance, if you're familiar with your Bible, runs throughout the Word of God. The Lord knows really how easily people forget His good works. He knows how easily we forget His goodness and His sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might be saved. And because of this, God has given us the memorials to help His people remember. I don't know about you, but I need all kinds of things to help me remember, amen? I'm getting to the point where sometimes I even forget my name, amen? Praise the Lord for that. But my wife has a few names for me that helps me remember, amen? No, I'm only kidding about that. But because of this, God really has given us some memorials to help people remember. I think some of the most important of these memorials given to the church is, number one, the Lord's Supper. But also we have the baptism of new believers. And today as we think about Memorial Day, I want us to consider these truths about these memorials that God has given us, His people that have been saved, born again, washed in Christ's blood. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin reading it here in Romans chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 6, down through verse number 10. As we think on this thought this morning, Memorial Day and the memorials God has given you and I. Let's read. The Bible says, beginning in Romans 5, beginning in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some should even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that our nation sets aside tomorrow, Father, to remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life in the defense of this nation or its great principles that we stand by. So, Father, I pray again You be with families, Father, that have recently lost loved ones in defense of this great nation. Father, those memories of their loved one and the thoughts that come into their mind today, I pray, Father, there'll be pleasant thoughts and peaceful thoughts. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would work in hearts and lives today. Father, I pray for Your church that's gathered here this day. Help us, Father, to remember that there's some memorials that we need to remember. And not to forget as well, that Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to the hearts of anyone who's here today, does not know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the day when they put their faith and trust in Jesus. So, Father, We come before you today with great adoration for what your Son has done for us, giving his life on the cross in order that we might be eternally saved. So bless now, Father, the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In case you didn't notice, you'll find in your bulletin an outline that you can either fill in if you desire to or follow along. It should be on a light blue piece of paper. And we put two in each bulletin. That way there'll be no marital disputes on who fills in and who doesn't. So if you want to do that, please feel free to do that as well. Notice, first of all, if you have the outline and you're looking in that, help you follow along. Notice, first of all, this morning, we see memorials call us to remember a price. Call us to remember a price. I want you to understand, first of all, this morning, that freedom has a cost. Freedom has a cost. Memorial Day reminds us that freedom costs somebody something. Brave men and women down through the years have given their lives in order that you and I could live in liberty today and enjoy the freedom that we have here in America. Someone said this, America might not be the best country, but is the best of all the countries, amen. So thank God for that. And we don't honor Memorial Day because freedom was cheap. Freedom was not cheap, but because freedom was costly. And that's why our Congress has set aside Memorial Day as a day that we can remember those who have given that ultimate sacrifice of their life. But think about this in even a greater sense. The Bible teaches that our salvation came at the highest cost of all. It came by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's only begotten Son gave his life in order for you and I to be saved. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, where the Bible says this, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, but as silver and gold, but from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, that is the cost of our freedom that we have. Our spiritual freedom we have in Jesus Christ came at the cost of him dying on the cross of Calvary. Understand this morning that we're not redeemed by money. You're not redeemed by your religion. You're not redeemed by your prayers. Listen, God's good works does not redeem you today. We're redeemed, but the Bible says, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the cross reminds us that sin is serious and God's judgment is real and grace is costly for God the Father. You see, Jesus didn't die because he had to pay for his sins. Oh, no. He died because he chose to pay for our sin. The Bible said he was a man who knew no sin, yet became sin for you and I. He voluntarily went to the cross of Calvary, died vicariously on the cross in order that you and I might attain an eternal inheritance with him. You know, when we walk through military cemeteries, and you see row after row of white markers. Some are markers, others are crosses. We're reminded that the blessings we enjoy were purchased by the sacrifice of someone else. But in a far greater way, when we come to Calvary by faith, we see the death of the Son of God purchase every spiritual blessing that you and I have. And because of that, you can enjoy forgiveness. You can have peace, you can have hope, and you can have the assurance of eternal life. But none of that came cheap because it cost the blood of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. It came through his suffering, it came through his blood, it came through his sacrifice on the cross of Golgotha in order for you and I to be saved. Well, we see, number one, that freedom has a cost. But notice, secondly, freedom has a charge. You say, well, what is the charge? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I think there is three charges that freedom has for you and I because we've been blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number one, do not treat your salvation lightly. Do not treat your salvation lightly. If Jesus shed his blood for you, guess what? Your salvation ought to be precious to you. Someone died in order for you to be saved. And that ought to mean something to you. Today we have the Army and Marines have battle buddies and someone who they stick side by side. And oftentimes one of the battle buddies would give his life for someone else. And that battle buddy that lives for the rest of his life, he'll be thinking and always be remembering about how precious his life is because someone gave their life for him. And it's no different with the Lord Jesus Christ and you and I that have been blood bought by Jesus Christ. And because of that, we should never speak casually about being saved. Our salvation ought to be not a second thought in our life. It ought to be the foremost thought of our life. And we should never live as though redemption was a small matter in our lives. Listen, Jesus died for you and I to be redeemed. That word redeemed gives the idea of being bought back from that slave market of sin. And Jesus paid the price in order for you and I to be brought back from that slave market of sin in our life. And so because of that, we've been rescued. We've been rescued from sin. We've been rescued from death. And thank God we've been rescued from hell itself. And it should fill you and I who've been saved and born again with a deep gratitude for what God has done for you. And let the price that Jesus paid for you move you to love Him more. It should move you to serve Him more faithfully and to thank Him genuinely for what He's done. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you genuinely thanked the Lord for your salvation? I know in testimony times, oftentimes the previous pastor taught that the first thing you ought to be thankful for before you give a testimony is your salvation. And that's good, and we ought to be thankful for our salvation, but I oftentimes wonder, are they just mere words that roll off our lips because we're supposed to do it? Like we end a prayer in Jesus' name, we just say that because we're supposed to say it? Do we really have meaning and feeling behind it? And so, my friends, as we think about this, do you thank Him genuinely for what He's done for us by dying and shedding His blood? Well, number two, don't let familiarity rob you of wonder. Do not let the familiarity of Jesus dying on the cross rob you of wonder. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I don't watch much of PBS because a lot of what they have on is woke, and it's not it doesn't fit with my philosophy of Americanism. But they do have one thing that they do on Memorial Day evening. They have a Memorial Day concert. And I'd be sure, if I'm not watching it, to set my DVR to record that Memorial Day concert, where they honor men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice for their life. And they honor some of our greatest American heroes, and some of the best singers in the world sing songs and give tribute to those men. And it's a wonderful thing. But you know what? Before I started watching that, I began to oftentimes let this idea of Memorial Day become too familiar to me. And it was another day off of work. It was a cookout and watermelon and hot dogs and bratwurst and whatever you're going to have. But listen, I want you to understand that I don't want your salvation experience to ever be just like that. Don't let the formality of it rob you of wonder. We hear about the cross preached almost every Sunday, and too often it does no longer move us. Like we sang that the song that was singing, the Statue of Liberty. You know, it ought to move your heart no matter how many times you hear it. You can speak of Calvary. You can sing about the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you can read the gospel story in the New Testament without your heart ever being stirred. If that's the case, listen, my friend, there's something wrong. Every time we hear about the sacrifice Christ made for us, it ought to move our heart to remind us, bring us into remembrance of the sacrifice that He made in order for you and I to be saved. If you find yourself like that, that you're not moved any longer by the sacrifice of what Christ has done for you, guess what? Let me help you this morning. There's something wrong in your heart. There's something wrong deep in your soul. You need to figure out what it is. You need to take care of that. Then ask God, once it's taken care of, to help you never again to lose sight of what Jesus Christ has done for you. I'm reminded of Psalm 103. In verse 2 that says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Pray that this old story of the crucifixion of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection would stay fresh in your mind, stay fresh in your soul, and that the cross would never become commonplace in your mind. Well, we see, thirdly, freedom has a charge. Number three, don't depend on anything else to save you. Do not depend on anything else to save you. I help you this morning. I think church membership is important. The Bible tells us that Christ died for the local New Testament church. Church membership is important, but get this, church membership will not save you. Baptism will not save you. Good intentions will not save you. Keeping the Ten Commandments will not save you. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ will wash away all your sin. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save us. If you're here today and you're relying on your morality, if you're relying on your religious background, or relying on grandma or grandpa to call you up to heaven and put in a good word for you for God, understand this, that even that and your personal efforts to say, I'm going to improve myself, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to be a nicer person. If you listen, you're trusting in the wrong source for your salvation. Instead, this morning, would you turn your heart to Jesus Christ? And you, in Jesus Christ, you will find complete rest and what he has already accomplished for you on the cross. You see, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just believe by faith that he is the Savior. So on this Memorial Day, I want you to remember the Savior who gave his life for the sins of the world. Well, not only do memorials call us to remember a price, but notice secondly, number two on your outline, it also calls us to remember a person. Remember a person. The Lord's Supper is one of the clearest memorials that God has ever given his people. On the night of his crucifixion, we find that Jesus took the bread and he took the cup and he told his disciples to observe the ordinance in remembrance of him. Let's turn there and read that together. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. And we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. As we understand this, that memorials call us to remember a person. Dr. Luke writes in Luke chapter 22 and verses 19 and 20. And the Bible says in verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Notice first of all that we ought to remember the person of Christ. The person of Christ. Notice the Lord's Supper isn't just speaking about remembering event. He's not saying, I want you to remember this time we're meeting in the upper room where we break the bread and we share the cup. Jesus is not just speaking about that. He said it's about remembering a person. He says, this do in remembrance of me. So the bread reminds us of the broken body, and of course the cup reminds us of his shed blood, and the Lord's Supper brings our hearts back to Calvary and fixes our attention once again on Jesus Christ. We generally have communion here 4 to 5 to 6 times during the calendar year here at Sharon Baptist Church. And I think that's a good thing because as we do that, it helps us fix our hearts back on what Christ has done for us on Calvary. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. He says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. So think about this now as we apply it to our life. Every time that we as believers partake of the Lord's Supper, they're proclaiming the gospel message. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again from the grave. And guess what? It gets even better than that. One day, thank God, he's coming back for us. Amen. How exciting is this? The Lord's Supper is just not some empty ritual that we just do because it's a common practice and it's written down for us to do it. This idea of the Lord's Supper is a sacred reminder that Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. Christianity just is not a system of beliefs. It's not a code of ethics. It's not some religious tradition as some denominations are. Understand that Christianity is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let me illustrate it to you this way. You know, a lot of people keep a picture of a loved one who has passed away. If you go down my hallway in our second floor, up on our floor where our living room is, you'll find pictures of Diana's grandmother and my parents and other people, loved ones that have passed on. Diana's mother's there as well. And we put those there because we want to be reminded of them. That picture doesn't replace the person, but it helps us to keep their memory fresh in our mind and dear in our hearts. But in just the same way, the Lord's Supper is a divine memorial that constantly reminds the church of Christ's ultimate sacrifice. It continually emphasizes to you and I who he is and what he has accomplished. Well, we see the person of Christ, but then we need to remember our place in Christ. You say, well, what is our place and how do I remember our place in Christ? Well, first of all, we do that by making Christ central in your worship. Making Jesus Christ central in your worship. So here's the truth. It's very possible and it's easy to go through the routine of church. It's easy to go through the routine of coming to church, Sunday school, and AM and PM and Wednesday. It's easy to come and have a routine of worship. It's easy to have this routine of just living in the Christian life. But all along, we lose sight of the person that we're supposed to be worshiping, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Because I believe this, that sometime in your life, you've been there and done that, amen? That you showed up and you worshiped, so to speak, that you lived this Christian life and you attended church, you did what you're supposed to do, you read your Bible, you prayed, but all along, guess what? You lost sight of the one that we are to love. We come together and we can sing hymns. We can sit in the pews and hear the preaching, and I think that you should. I think that you, every person here ought to sing. You say, well, if you heard me sing, you wouldn't want me to sing. No, that's not the case. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing loudly and sing like you're singing to the Lord himself. You can sing, you can listen to the preaching, and you can participate in the services, but yet, guess what? Your heart can still be far from him. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse number 8. In this passage, he's speaking to the hypocrites and he says this. This people, speaking of Pharisees, Sadducees, and hypocrites, people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, you don't have to be a Pharisee or Sadducee. You don't have to be a religious leader. You don't have to be that. You don't have to even be a hypocrite. Understand this, that oftentimes if we're not careful, we'll lose the central focus of our worship and service and get our eyes off Jesus Christ, and we'll just make this thing of serving him just some kind of routine. But the Lord's Supper reminds us that Jesus must remain at the center. Paul, writing to the church of Colossae in chapter 1 and verse 18, says this, and he is the head of the body, the church, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And notice the ending part, that in all things he might have preeminence. My friend, that's what we ought to have. We ought to have put him first in our life. He ought to have preeminence. And you need to ensure that every act of worship, every act of service directs your soul to Jesus Christ rather than just filling out time, rather than just following some routine that you always do on Sunday. Well, to remember our place in Christ, we need to, number two, be examining our hearts regularly. Examining our hearts regularly. You see, the Lord's table invites us to approach with reverence. It invites us to the table to come with gratitude in our heart, confession of our sin, and reflection of what Christ has done for us. And we should avoid, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, coming very casually. We ought to come cautiously to the table. Before partaking, we ought to speak to the Lord and ask God to search our hearts to reveal any unconfessed sin and also to renew a right spirit within you. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. See, here's the truth. When we speak about self-examination, it's not about this idea of pushing ourselves away from Christ. It's about lovingly having Christ guide us back to Him with sincerity and humility. Number three, to remember our place in Christ, we need to be living in light of His return. Paul said we show the Lord's death, notice the wording, till He, or Christ, come. And the table points backwards to the cross. The table points inward to our hearts and forward to the coming of Jesus Christ someday. And every time that we gather together, we partake in the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that this world is not our final destination. Jesus is coming again, and we must live with that expectation. We must live with purity in our heart and readiness to go with Him. You see, when you come to the Lord's table, oftentimes we look down and all we see is the bread and all we see is the cup. Don't just see the bread. Just don't see the cup. I want you to see Christ. I want you to remember Christ. I want you to worship Jesus Christ. Well, not only do memorials call us to remember a price and a person, but notice thirdly, memorials call us to remember a picture. You see, baptism is another memorial that points directly to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand this, that baptism does not save the soul, but it's a public testimony of what Christ has already done in the believer's heart. Turning your Bibles to Romans 6 and verse number 4. Romans 6 and verse number 4. Memorials call us to remember a picture. Romans 6 and verse 4. Notice what, again, Paul writes and says for you and I. He said in Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice, first of all, that baptism is a picture. Baptism is a picture. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is, when a believer is lowered down into the water, it symbolizes his burial with Jesus Christ. And when he raised back up again, it pictures the resurrection and new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Baptism tells a story without saying a word. Kind of like the wordless book, although you have to speak words. But baptism gives us a story without any words. It declares that the old life is gone and that what Jesus Christ has bought and brought us new life in Him. And that the believer now belongs to Him. That's the testimony of a person who receives Christ as their Savior and follows the believer's baptism. And that's why baptism matters. That's why baptism is a prerequisite for joining most independent fundamental Baptist churches. And that's why it's so important, because it pictures His death, burial, and resurrection, and us walking in newness of life. Again, remind you that baptism is not a saving act. Baptism does not save. But understand this, I think it's a very significant act. And I think after a person gets saved and they make a public profession of their faith, following Christ, believers' baptism, my friend, they have a good start to their new walk in Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Does this wedding ring that I have here, does this wedding ring make me a married person? No, it does not. This wedding ring does not make me a married person. Understand this. It's a symbol of a covenant that I have made with Diana Jill Randolph many, many years ago. It's just a symbol. And just the same way baptism doesn't save a person, but it's an outward testimony that a person has already been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It tells the world this. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. I believe that he died. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again. And now I walk in newness of life, and I belong to him. Well, baptism is a picture, but then notice something else. Secondly, baptism is a practice. If you've been saved but not scripturally baptized, you need to, first of all, obey the Lord. You know, baptism isn't optional for a believer. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of testimony. And if Christ has saved you, then you should not delay in publicly identifying with him. You know, in some of the larger churches across America today, when someone gets saved in their auditorium and they get saved in their junior church ministries, they immediately bring them out. They immediately baptize them immediately. You see, obedience in baptism is one of the first steps of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And it honors the one who gave himself for you. I think of the early New Testament church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The Bible says this, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." If you've been baptized, number two, live what your baptism pictures. Live what your baptism pictures. You see, baptism points to the newness of life, and that means we shouldn't keep trying to live life like the old man that we claim to have died from. Remember, we're dead to the old life, and those habits and those attitudes and those desires of our old life should no longer rule us. As a matter of fact, now we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives and indwells inside of us that could be our helper to not do that. Christ has made us new, and we ought to walk in a way that reflects that new life every day. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 tells us this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Well, baptism is a practice, but then notice thirdly, let your life match your profession. If you've been saved, there should be evidence of your salvation in your life. There should be some evidence that Jesus Christ has changed you. The picture of baptism should be supported by the practice of your faith. So just think about that. You've been saved and scripturally baptized. Does your life support the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection and the newness of life in Jesus Christ? You see, our words may claim that we belong to Christ, but our conduct better confirms it. We can say one thing but do something else. But if we say one thing and our conduct confirms it, my goodness, that's a win-win for everybody. And the world needs to see a life in us that has been touched and transformed by the power of God. Turn one last time to Philippians chapter number 1. If you turn to Philippians chapter number 1. Galatians, Ephesians, turn right in your Bible from where you were. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. The world needs to see a life that has been touched and transformed by the power of God. Notice Philippians 1 and verse 27. The Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ." The death, the burial, the resurrection, walking in newness of life, in other words. And it continues on, "that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." If baptism is a practice, number four, we should be willing to identify openly with Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of the matter is baptism is a public testimony that reminds us that following Jesus is not something to hide. In a world that we live in today, it opposes truth. Believers ought not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand openly for Jesus. Speak of Him loudly and let others know where you stand in reference to Jesus Christ. Remember, He's the one who died and rose again for you. He's worthy of our public allegiance to Him. There's no such thing as a silent Christian. There should not be anyhow. I'm reminded of Romans 10, verse number 11. We sometimes use this after someone receives Christ as their Savior as a way to motivate them to understand that they need to make a public profession of their faith and receive baptism. The Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." And then Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You see, the truth of the matter is baptism points back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and forward, walking in a newness of life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Well, as we close, don't forget, God's memorials are not empty rituals. Communion and baptism, they're a sacred reminder that keep this spiritual truth of what Christ has done for us in the forefront of our mind. The truth is, we live in a busy world. And because we're so busy, we're often distracted by all kinds of things. Understand, the Lord's Supper and baptism call us back to the very foundation of our faith. Just as Memorial Day reminds a nation of sacrifice, these ordinances of the Lord's Supper and baptism remind the church of the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made. So this Memorial Day, let's not, as we pause, not only to remember those who have given their life for this great nation, let's also pause to give thanks to God for the two memorials He has given His people that are saved and born again, to remember Him and call us back for that. And may we never forget the price of freedom, whether national freedom that we enjoy here in America or spiritual liberty that we enjoy because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. And may the memorials that God has given us continually draw our hearts back to Him. So let me ask you this. Have you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Does that sacrifice still mean something to you if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior? And then do you approach the Lord's table with reverence and gratitude? And then, if you are saved, have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? And then for those who would say, "Yes, I am saved. Yes, I have been baptized," let me ask you this question. Is your life reflecting the newness that Christ has given you? And as we remember this Memorial Day, let us never forget the price paid for our salvation. Never, never let us forget the person that we are called to love and worship, Jesus Christ. And then lastly, the picture God has given us through baptism and the Lord's Supper. And may these memorials keep our hearts and minds fixed upon Jesus Christ and move us to respond with gratitude and obedience, faithfulness and devotion to Him, for He deserves it all. Let's not be people who forget. Let's be people that remember. Let's pray.